WIAM 101.1 FM, The Way.
Bob Johnson Insurance supports the ministry of WIAM, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. They offer over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. If you'd like a personalized quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance by phone at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Is China becoming part of the supporting cast for the Ezekiel Prophecy Theater? We'll find out, as new studies find there's nothing slowing down the hatred of the Jews, or the growing hatred of Christians. There's also no slowing down Pope Francis as he propels the Catholic Church into the stratosphere of apostasy. We'll even talk about the elephant in the courtroom, as Pastor Mark presides over the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, January 24th, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can try to stump Pastor Mark with a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to remind us that geology rocks, but geography is where it's at, is Pastor Mark, who saw a sign the other day that said, "Watch for children." And he thought to himself, that sounds like a fair trade.
No, I like that. That's how I think. That's how my actually, I think things very literally. And you know, I jokingly say this. I watch these signs that said, you know, slow children at play, and I take that. I say I was defensive. I'm pretty quick. I'm pretty quick. Don't this, you know?
These jokes are for you, Pastor.
Yes,
Mark.
And then you see the "in construction now" signs. I always like put my fist in the air. I'm like, yes, I'm with you on the "end construction now." I'm with you on that. 100%. I'm there.
Yes.
So anyway,
well, before we get to the elephant in the courtroom,
yes,
let's get into your, not necessarily an elephant in the room, but it is something that you think could have some prophetic significance that on the surface does seem somewhat innocuous in our technological age.
Yeah, I just think this whole thing that, talking about what Trump highlighted yesterday in this AI project that he's joining in on. Many of you saw that on the news. You know, we've been watching technology just explode and realizing that it would need to. When you read in Revelation 13, it talks about the mark of the beast, and it's going to be this mark where the Antichrist is going to be able to make everyone small and great take this mark, either to be able to buy or sell or do anything, and really just shows the ultimate control that he will have over mankind by a database and by information and being able to see everything, know everything, run everything. Remember, he's not God. He wants to be God, but he's not going to be God. So he's got to use man's inventions to do it. And one of the things that has to be in place are man's inventions. They've got to be in place in order for the Antichrist to be able to do this stuff. They are in place. I mean, this could happen overnight. And what's amazing is with this thing that President Trump is saying, and again, you know, look, I'm not, when I say that he's doing this or he's helping this initiative take place, again, making no, I do not believe he's the Antichrist. I probably don't have to say that. I've said it more than once. Look, what's happening is the world is getting prepared. God is allowing the world to move forward. President Trump is just a very, very innovative guy that gets things done. And so, you know, God's going to allow certain things to take place. And these technologies and this ability has to be in place for all these things to take place. So the infrastructure has been put in place, and now further infrastructure through artificial intelligence is now being put in place. So with this announcement that he made that, they're going to be investing $500 billion, that's half a trillion dollars, in AI technology, this is huge. Because this is going to connect every camera in the world, everybody's data in the world. You know, it's amazing. I was watching this. I want to read some of the article, Greg, and then we'll talk about it because this is huge. And we'll just take a moment to spend some time to talk about
this article that you're going to talk about is not on our stack.
No,
so just
but you
so
know
the
what?
Listeners
and,
know.
But I'll say this. Listeners, go online and do President Trump's AI initiative. You'll have piles of things come up right there. You'll see what he did yesterday. But I just want to read a little bit of it because it says he went in this joint venture, $500 billion for infrastructure tied to this partnership of artificial intelligence with OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank. The new entity, it's called Stargate, will start building out data centers and the electricity generation needed for the further development of fast-evolving AI in Texas, according to the White House. Again, the initial investment is going to be $100 billion, but then it's going to go to $500 billion and even talks about maybe in a trillion by the time they're done. But joining Trump in the fresh inauguration is Masayoshi, son of the SoftBank, Sam Altman of OpenAI, and Larry Ellison of Oracle, and all three credit to Trump with making this possible, which indeed he is. I think that, you know, it's interesting. Before the Christ came, John the Baptist came and prepared the way. I'm not saying that President Trump is a John the Baptist type for the Antichrist. I'm not connecting him to anything to do with the Antichrist or any of that. So please don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful that we have a president in there now that's very supportive of all the things that we as Americans want. So I'm very much supportive. I'm not in any way. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. But at the same time, we know that the way is going to be prepared for the Antichrist the same way that Jesus' way was prepared. How do I know that? Well, first of all, these things had to be in place. Okay. And I suspect that the way is going to be prepared. Maybe even the false prophet's going to be used to do part of this. We'll see. Because Satan imitates everything that God does, and he wants to be God. So because there was a forerunner before the Christ, it wouldn't surprise me to see some type of forerunner or preparation in advance. And I see what's happening here as a preparation to get ready for the Antichrist. I really do. Again, it's just so amazing because this AI technology is really what's going to make possible in such a rapid way all the control of the earth that's going to be there. It says, Ellison noted the data centers are already under construction. So this has already been going on. With 10 being built so far, the chairman of Oracle suggested that the project was also tied to digital health records and would make it easier to treat diseases such as cancer with a new customized vaccine. He talked about the mRNA technology, which so far has been pretty much a huge failure. I think we all would agree that the mRNA technology on the shots here in the last few years has been devastating and caused a lot of problems. But they're claiming that now they're perfecting it. They're going to perfect it. And they'll be able to take, for example, Greg, he said, they'll be able to get like a whatever type of cancer you have, take that cell, and apparently, I guess, take your own. From that, they'll be able to develop an mRNA technology. They can inject you with, they'll have your shot for you within 48 hours that'll go in and kill that cancer. Now, this all sounds wonderful and great. They claim they can do it. But again, with what we just saw here recently with all these injections, you know, it's not something to get very excited about. But it's something where, you know, they're saying that it's going to be effective, and we'll see whether or not it is or isn't. It's kind of scary on the surface with all that just happened. But again, just to see this technology moving forward, the president talked about how it would boost the economy, basically make us even a greater leader in the world. And it's going to affect everything from the medical to our banks. And one of the guys got up and shared, they would even, you know, why send people after runaway cars anymore in police chases? You don't have to send a policeman, send a drone. They'll have all the technology. They'll know who it is. They can read everything. They'll be able to track them. They'll know where they're going. The drone can go and probably even arrest them, you know, and stop them in their actions. So, again, the thing to realize when we watch this kind of develop this is the technology that we've been looking for the Antichrist to be able to do what he's what he says he'll be able to do. And so I find it extremely interesting. I think we need to keep an eye on it. Again, like anything, it could be something that could be used very wonderfully if it actually worked. It could also be something that could be used very insidiously when the Antichrist comes along by his a power and authority. So even if this push for it now is all genuine and has a good mindset behind it, where it's going to be taken, we know.
Well, but one thing's for certain, when you think about the blockchain technology that's been out there for a while now, that helps to fuel, blockchain technology is the backbone of cryptocurrency.
Right.
But blockchain technology can be used for other things. Yet that type of electronic or digital asset or future assets that you can use to create digital documentation requires a lot of computing power.
Yes.
AI the same way.
Yes.
Now let's fast forward into prophecy and what the Bible says, how the Antichrist is going, the way it talks about how he is going to rule, and the technology that's inferred in Scripture on how he's going to be able to carry that out is going to require a lot of computing power.
Yes, it is.
So all of these things that are happening right now, even though they might be used for these purposes right now, will eventually be used for prophetic fulfillment later on.
And again, I think you prepare the way.
It's preparing the way.
Absolutely. For the false Christ.
Yes.
And whether or not there'll be a real person that prepares the way individually or whether or not it'll just be getting everything in place. But Greg, this is, you know, I told you when we took this last trip, the only trip I've ever taken on a Journeys of Paul, but the last trip we went on as a church was the Journeys of Paul. And it was interesting to see them getting ready for their 25th,
Jubilee or what was it called?
25th Jubilee for the Catholic Church. Every 25 years they do there in Rome. And they were getting Rome ready. And it was like they were rolling out the red carpet for this 25th anniversary. And it just kind of made me feel like, you know what? It's almost felt like, you know, they're going to be rolling out the red carpet at some point for the Antichrist and getting the world ready. And it kind of feels like they're getting things ready. It's almost like, you know, the inauguration's coming up. And all the people are planning everything in advance, getting it ready to go, and it's going to be here when it's going to be here. But again, if it wasn't President Trump, it'd be someone else. And I'm not saying he's the one. Again, I want to make that clear that he's connected to anything to do with, you know, the false prophet of the Antichrist. I'm simply saying that Satan is moving in the world, and God is allowing this technology to take place so the Antichrist can come on the scene. And I believe we're seeing the stage set for that. You know, it's interesting. When you look back in Babylon, when you read about it in Genesis, when God scattered them, he said, we need to scatter them because if we don't, nothing will be impossible for them. Now, he wasn't speaking about in his sense of being God. But what he meant was, made in my image, man can do a lot of things that I'm not going to let happen, and they're not ready for it in time. So God scattered them. Well, in the last days, this is the new Babylon being rebuilt, the worldwide system. God's not going to stop it. He's going to let this move forward. And now with this new unified world system, with man's wisdom and technology, God's allowing it now to take off. It talks about that in Daniel 12, I think, in the last days. Really, it's probably speaking mostly about prophetic knowledge increasing. But again, there could be an application, I think, possibly the explosion we see of technology. That could be an argument for theologians. But either way, God's letting this happen. And it needs to happen for the Antichrist to cause everyone to take this mark. This mark is going to have everyone's information. It's going to be able to track you. You can't buy. You can't sell. It's going to solve a lot of problems. It's also going to create a lot of problems. And so it's just interesting to watch all this take place. And, you know, some of the technology now they're talking about, Greg, even medically, they're talking about being able to growing legs back and arms back and different organs and bodies and all this stuff. And that's not creating. We talked about that. It's taking it from something already created and just making it rerun its sequences. But either way, will God allow that? Will he not? Will it happen? We don't know. But this all ties into this incredible ability of man. If God doesn't intervene, of course, man would destroy himself because we are basically evil at our core.
Right. Let's talk for a minute about some of these people that you mentioned in the article.
Yes.
And some of the people that we've always talked about, whether it's Bill Gates or Klaus Schwab or Yuval Noah Harari. And guys like this, some of these people know that they're devising sinister schemes.
Right.
And some of these guys don't know.
Right.
Would that be a fair statement?
I think so. I don't know on these particular ones. This Masayoshi and Sam Altman and Larry Ellison, which are the three coming together here. I don't know what they know or don't know. You never know. I mean, a lot of people, I think, are used they're doing things or advancing things that they don't even know what they're doing. Some of them may even have good intentions, you know, like you to do something good for mankind. But the bottom line is, because of the fallen nature and because of God allowing Satan to lead the world in the last days to the Antichrist and all that's going to happen, it's going to be abused. It's going to be taken the wrong direction. So I don't know enough about these individual men to give you that idea. I do know that some of them, for example, I think Sam Altman and others have been very kind of anti-conservative. So to see them link up with President Trump, at least that's my understanding, people are shocked by that. But remember, when it comes to money, and it comes to, you know, everybody becomes good friends as long as the cash is flowing. And so President Trump is that key to some of this cash flow. So you're going to see people come together that normally wouldn't. It reminds me of when Jesus was being crucified. You had people come together that hated each other.
Yeah.
Pilate and Herod became friends that day, and they were enemies prior to that. So, enemies become friends whenever there's a common goal. And the common goal here would be money. And how much they know, Greg, and how much they don't know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, stay tuned, because I'm sure there's more to talk about that as the weeks and months
absolutely
unfold.
Absolutely.
As we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 news this week, we first land at Fox News for an article dated January 21st. For Putin and Xi vow to deepen their alliance hours after President Trump re-enters the White House.
Yeah, and again, remember, there's kind of been this kind of the last few years kind of an East versus West mindset in world power. You have the Western world powers, and then a Putin and Xi and some of these guys in the East wanted to have the Eastern powers take over the world, and that's how they got involved in the whole BRICS economy and all this talk to start happening. And so this has been going on for a while, and even before I get in the article to kind of lay you, this is now about that separation of powers in the world. And I left this article in because you can't look at this article and say, okay, there's something specifically to point at. But Greg, what this is, I think very possibly, and I think another thing that President Trump may be used in doing over the next 4 years is bringing together the 10 toes of Daniel. You're seeing things happen so quickly, and these 10 kingdoms it talks about in the last days, it wouldn't surprise me, because remember, somebody's got to get the stage set. And President Trump is a can-do guy. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see him even get the stage set for the 10 toes or the 10 kingdoms to be in place. And that's where you see guys like Putin and Xi getting involved in that, because we know that the West is going to win this. Between the East and the West, we already know, the Bible tells us, Putin and Xi and those guys, they're not going to come out victorious in this. It's going to be the West, because it's going to be a revived Roman Empire, which is based in the West. So these guys are trying to join forces to fight, to plan together better about what do we do. But again, we know ultimately the victory will be through the West. But this could be used, though, as negotiating. Again, President Trump is known as the master negotiator, right?
He is.
The art of the deal.
Yeah, that's it.
In getting people together. And this may be the thing. Remember, it says when these 10 toes come together, some of them don't want to be there. It talks about iron and clay mixed. And when you take iron and clay and try to form that as an artist and to make something you're going to make in your studio, those two things don't form good. You may be able to put the clay on the iron, then even put it in the kiln, put it in the oven and heat it up, but it's still going to break. It's not going to hold good. And so you're going to see these come together. Some are going to want to be involved. I think it indicates that some will be forced to be involved. And when it comes to these feats, some of them are going to think, hey, this stinks. But at the same time, they're going to be forced to be involved in it. And so this may be what happens here with some of these guys. But Chinese Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin said on Tuesday they were going to deepen their strategic coordination in a video call. It actually ran out because I didn't pay enough there for their Zoom. video call, I made that part up. In a video call less than a day after President Trump reentered the White House, a transcript of the call posted to the Kremlin's website showed that both Putin and Xi referred to one another as friends. And vowed to back one another's strategic interests, no matter the current global situation.
Now, did they say frenemies or friends?
They just said friends.
Okay.
And then I quote, "This year I'm ready, together with you, to elevate the Chinese-Russian relations to a new level, to counter external uncertainties by preserving stability and resilience of the Chinese-Russia relations," Xi said. Xi told Putin that he had a call with Trump on Friday regarding TikTok, and trade with Taiwan as well. And the Chinese and Russian leaders also reportedly indicated a willingness to build relations with the United States, I would say they better, on a mutually beneficial, mutually respectful basis. If Trump team really wants to show interest in this, they're open to it. So what they're saying is, look, we still need to strengthen our ties, but, you know, we can't ignore the most powerful man in the world, with the most powerful military in the world and the most powerful government in the world, at least still at this point. So I think, Greg, they're trying to show some strength, but at the same time acknowledging that they need President Trump and they're going to include him in all this. So just be watching this to happen. Again, we do know the West is going to come out victorious in this battle of the powers. We do know that Russia, whether or not Putin's going to be leading them by the time the invasion happens with Iran coming in or not, that's certainly going to set Putin back. Whether or not Putin would still be in power, whether or not he would be removed, whether or not there's someone else in power by the time he gets there. Remember, the world stage is going to be set with the 10 kingdoms, which I believe you may see President Trump help coordinate here. And when that happens, when this Antichrist shows up, he's going to start out as an insignificant nobody, which is another reason I think it makes it pretty clear this is not President Trump, because he's not from Europe, and this is, and he's not an insignificant nobody. It's going to start out, the Bible says, as a small horn, in this picture of the 10 horns, the 10 kingdoms. This little horn, which is going to be very little known, will come in with intrigue. He'll rise up quickly among the 10 that will already be in place. And get this, he's going to yank 3 out of the way right away. Now, could part of these 3 be, you know, China and Russia, and maybe they get yanked out, their leaders get yanked out right away because they're not going along? I don't know. Time will tell. It kind of seems odd that China would be yanked out because they're such a huge influence in the world. Russia, I can see that happening. They're not as big of an influence. But either way, this is such an amazing time we're watching, Greg. Mm-hmm. We are truly living in biblical days, prophecy days. I think we're going to see, again, like I said, we may watch the 10 toes formulate. We're going to watch the technology through this AI initiative further formulate. And it's just going to, it's going to happen so quick. And here's another thing before we move on. This verse really struck me today as I was prepping for the broadcast. And Jesus said this in Revelation. It says, you know, behold, I'm coming quickly. That he talks about when this process begins, it says, it's going to happen very quickly. It'll happen shortly is the way that he says it. And a lot of people misread that because they think, well, wait a minute. It didn't happen shortly. That was 2,000 years ago and it still hadn't happened. That's not what it means in the original. In the original, the word is, it's where we get the word tachometer when he says these things will happen shortly. And what that means is it's something that shows the rev of the engine. It shows the speed of which the engine is going. And the point he's saying is, if in the language there, what it's indicating is when this last day's process kicks into gear, when that foot starts whoom, whoom, whoom on that last day's, it's going to be fast. I mean, it's like that flag's going to drop, the wheels are going to go, the smoke's going to rise, and we in the South are going to go, yeah, like that. And I don't think in California they'll do that, you know, again. But we're going to have that here with the big pipes, you know, and all the smoke coming out and people worried about global warming. But either way, that's going to happen here in the South, and it's going to take off. It's going to be worldwide. And I think that, Greg, I'm wondering, look at what's happened over the last 4 days. Have we begun this burning of the rubber process for this thing to take off? I don't know. Time will tell. Just because he's very innovative and taking off right away doesn't mean that process has begun. But I'll tell you, it's very reminiscent of what the Bible says is going to be like when things kick into, no pun intended, kick into gear.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated January 22nd. According to a report, China is going to supply Iran with the key ingredient for missile fuel. What is that? Go-go juice? What is that?
Well, it says here in the article what it is. I'll read that. They're getting these guys, basically they don't know it, but they're getting Iran set up. The Post is revealing the story for Iran. They're going to come post toasties by the time this is done as God deals with them as they come in with Russia again to try to destroy Israel. But basically they're needing more ability to fight, and Russia's helping them. And so China's helping them, which shouldn't surprise us. Now, the odd thing here in this, again, I gave this commentary before we even get into the article. You would expect to see, which we have seen in a lot of articles in the past, Russia, Iran, because those are the two main players. But watching China in all this, Rick, I find this interesting because I believe something's going to happen to kind of neutralize China or drop China out of this at least temporarily in this intense process, because you don't see them. Once this kicks into gear with the West taking over and the last time, you don't really get an indication. It doesn't say China's not there. They're just mysteriously not on the pages of Scripture, kind of like America. So it's very interesting. Now, I do believe there could be an indication of China being involved at the second coming, at Armageddon. The armies from the East, the 200 million that are demonically influenced, there may be some ties there to China, but it's interesting to watch China's push with Russia and Iran helping the darkness move forward in their agenda. And you can see the influence of Satan on these nations. But the fact that China kind of fades out, maybe they're, again, maybe they're one of the 10 toes that gets pulled out and then regroups at the end. I don't know. But either way, listen to what it says. Two Iranian cargo ships may be seeking to move key chemicals for missile propellants from China. The Financial Times reported on Wednesday. The vessels could depart from China in the next few weeks, it says. Again, not moving as quickly, I'm sure, as Iran would go, because there's two kinds of cargo. This apparently is the S cargo. And so the report is based on intelligence from security officials in two Western countries. This information appears to serve as a clear warning to Iran and China about these vessels. According to the report, the Iranian flagships, the Golban and the Jaran, are expected to carry more than 1,000 tons of sodium, and I want to say this right, perchlorate, which is used to make ammonium perchlorate, the main ingredient for solid propellant for missiles. Iran has suffered some setbacks in manufacturing missile propellants in the last year. Axios reported in October that Israel had struck 12 planetary mixers. And that, again, this one, remember I said when Israel went in and did great damage?
Yes.
This was some of the damage.
Gotcha.
Where they set them back hugely. They struck 12 planetary mixers, which Reuters said were used to produce solid fuel for long-range ballistic missiles. So here's what happened. Israel goes in, takes out their ability to send long-range missiles, which protects Israel, also hurts them if they get a nuclear weapon, that is Iran. And China goes, you know what? We'll make up for that. We'll give that back to you. So China, they're really causing a problem here.
Yeah.
And so, again, you're going to see, again, now whether or not they can really get enough in there to affect, whether or not the President Trump will
do something.
But they're
trying to play a supporting role in all of this.
Yeah, they really are. And so, again, this is where we'll keep an eye on this and watch what's happening. But they're definitely involved. But, it's again, because you see more of the focus on Russia and Iran, I'm anxious to watch what's going to happen here with China. I'm not saying they're going to be destroyed or they're going to collapse. We know, look, believe it or not, even though that everything you pretty much have in your house is made there, their economy is in bad shape.
Yeah.
It really is. And President Trump, if he shifts things around like he wants, he could shift things around purposely to do great damage to China and hurt them even more. And, I mean, just the way he says China could hurt them. China. And even that right there, I think, brings their money down and affects them, as far as that goes. So,
yes. So, well, that is Pastor Mark Kirk, who is delivering for us the escargo of prophecy on Signs of the Times.
But we're doing it quickly.
That's it. We are a weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news, a live radio broadcast right here on WIAM LP Knoxville that will become podcast number 347, available to listen to wherever you get your podcast. Now, Pastor Mark, we don't have a listener question this week, but we are going to do the mid-trib or mid-show. We're going to do the mid-show break for you to promote in 2 weeks the Prophecy Conference.
Thank you so much, because we want to do that again.
We can thank our video producer, Ed Fultz, for reminding me.
Yes, thank you, Ed. Again, I want to remind everyone, again, we have the Prophecy Conference coming up February the 8th. Saturday, February the 8th, from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. It's going to be a great day on that day. We're going to have, I'll be there, obviously, because we're the ones putting it on. But the guys to get excited about are Pastor Jack Hibbs, Jeff Kinley, and Todd Hampson. And Jeff and Todd do a team thing together. They call the Prophecy Pros. They're going to be there. Of course, Jack Hibbs is well known. He'll be doing prophecy. And so the way the day is going to line up, each one will have four different sharings, different teachings, prophetic teachings during that. And then we're going to have a panel that I'm calling the Current Events Panel. And we're going to talk about things such as what's going on in Syria right now with Damascus, what's happening with Israel, obviously, which is God's timepiece and God's time clock. We'll talk about Russia and China and that invasion. We'll talk about just the new president and how America plays into all this. We're going to have a lot of prophetic talk. We're probably going to be talking about AI and all these kind of things. So I'm actually looking forward to the Current Events Panel as much as anything else, where we'll all be there together and just having this discussion. And it's going to be just a great, amazing time. Very affordable. It's only $15 a person. I think we have, there's already a well over 1,700, maybe 1,750 or some so signed up. I think we have room for up to 2,000. So, another 100 just joined here in the last couple of days. So people are kind of waiting to the last minute and jumping in there. So don't wait till the last minute. Get in there now. You can go to our webpage. Go to CalvaryKnoxville.org, CalvaryKnoxville.org. Hit the events page. pop it down. You can register right there, make your payment right there. There'll also be tables set up with each of the speakers and their books that'll be there. And just a great day of fellowship and getting excited about the Lord coming back. And it's just going to be an amazing thing. And this is the first one we've ever done on this end of the country. If it goes well, which it already is going well with the numbers that are showing up, but if it goes well, this may be something we do on an annual basis or every so often. We'll see how it works out, what happens there. I don't know how that's going to all pan out. But either way, we're excited about it. It's going to be a great, amazing time. Be sure and, you know, be a part of it. Get logged in and be there. We'd love to have you join us.
All right, as we visit some growing anti-Semitism, as episode 347 rolls on here on Signs of the Times, we take a stop to JNS.org for an article dated January 14th, where an Anti-Defamation League poll shows nearly half of adults worldwide harbor anti-Semitic views.
Yes, no surprise here as we get into more big, beautiful, prophetic news.
Now, but you.
But we got to go fast. I know. I've got.
You're going to do that.
I keep saying. Here's the thing. You know, just you.
You have 4 years.
I do.
Don't wait till the end of his presidency.
I don't know why I do that. Some people are easier than those. I can do imitations of some. I've not tried to start learning. I've got to just set aside a day and try to see if I can get a little bit of President Trump. Maybe try to surprise you guys. But here's the thing. There are so many people out there that do him so well that I know there's no way I would ever do it as good as they do. There's one guy out there that if I don't look at the screen, I think it's him, President Trump.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
I mean,
about.
It's like, that's
that
President
guy
Trump.
That I sent you that one day. Yes.
And it's like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So if I do it, it's going to be something quick and short and to the point, but I can use his phraseology.
Yes.
It's going to be a big, beautiful prophecy show from this point on. But anyway, but this is not although this is big, beautiful prophecy, this is not a happy story.
This is not beautiful.
No, this is something God hates, and it's a new survey released by the Anti-Defamation League showing nearly, get this, half of the global population holds elevated levels of anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic attitudes. I find that number interesting. The Global 100 poll found that an estimated 2.2 billion people, representing 46% of the world's adults, harbor, and I quote, deeply entrenched anti-Semitic attitudes, the ADL stated. This figure, here's the thing, look at this, is double the level from just 10 years ago and the highest on record since the group began monitoring the Jew hatred in worldwide trends. Think about almost half the world dislikes the Jews. Why do I find that interesting? Well, again, what did Jesus say? He said, in the last days, all men will hate you. Matthew 24, speaking to the Jews. All men will hate you. And again, in Zechariah, we see the whole world's going to turn against them. That's why the Battle of Armageddon, there's some infighting going on with the Antichrist and some other nations, maybe even the Antichrist and China at that time, which is interesting, as we just talked about earlier. But then they're all going to turn on Jesus when they get there. And so there's this worldwide hatred of the Jewish people, and it's going to grow until everybody, America and everybody, hates the Jews. Now, you think, why would that happen? Remember, it's not simply because they're Jewish and that they've done something wrong. This is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual war. And Satan hates God. God made a promise to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. God is keeping and will keep his promise to the nation of Israel and the Jews. Although they'll go through much turmoil in order to get there, God's going to keep his promise. But Satan the entire time has been opposing God and therefore opposing those that God has made the promises to. It's not just the Jews, it's Christians as well, but Jews first. So this is why you're seeing such Jewish hatred. It's going to continue to grow. It is demonically fueled. There's no other reason for it. Demonically fueled hatred of the Jews. It's going to increase in the last days, and we're just now seeing the uptick in it. Again, it's going to get way worse, so we need to be praying for our Jewish family, those who know the Lord, those who don't yet know the Lord, and that's why we have to continue to stand with them and encourage them, because God told us to in these last days, and so we'll be rewarded for that. And again, many of the Jews are going to come to know and profess Jesus Christ as their Lord in the last days, and they'll be family with us in the kingdom.
Now, we know that President Trump was involved in brokering the recent peace deal, if you will, with the exchange of the hostages and the prisoners between Hamas and Israel. And matter of fact, you haven't even talked about what your thoughts were on all of that.
Maybe, on which thing now?
Well, on that whole deal.
The deal.
Was it a good deal, bad deal?
Yeah.
It was kind of like one of those time will tell things.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
But I mean, whenever.
Well, let's get to this first because while on the surface, all of that and everything looks very good on the surface, here's one thing that's come out of it that isn't good. This is according to Israel National News, Arut Sheva, dated January 21st, hostage deal has been accompanied by a rise in online anti-Semitism.
Isn't that something? Yes, let's do the article and then, Greg, I think I shared a little bit on here, but I'll share the body more.
Okay.
And let's talk about it just briefly, because I think our listeners, I need to make sure they need to know.
I just couldn't remember if you did.
Yeah, well, my viewpoint. I did a little, but let me share again. The hostage deal between Israel and Hamas, which garnered widespread media attention and public discourse, has led to a new wave of hate speech and anti-Semitism on social media. Again, all demonically led. The National Digital Center in Sderot reported that Sderot is there in Israel. Images and videos from the deal quickly became tools for spreading incitement, anti-Israel content, and posts filled with hatred toward the Jewish people and the state of Israel. Isn't that amazing? What other people do you know could have their people being tortured brutally and held hostage for well over a year, and then when some of them start to get released, everybody attacks them and goes, "We hate you." And that doesn't even make sense. You know, it's ridiculous. The National Digital Center reported a sharp increase in the number of anti-Semitic expressions online since the deal was implemented. According to the Gadit Botra, the center's CEO, in the days following the deal were identified a surge of hundreds of percent inciting posts against Israel. This is a global phenomenon. Note this. What did it say in the last days? The entire world will turn against the Jews. It's a global phenomenon. Well, if you know the Bible, you understand why. It goes on with most expressions appearing on platforms like Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, but not limited to them. So it's amazing. As they talk about getting the Jews released after the torture they're coming out of, more people come out to hate them. There's no logic. It's demonic.
It is a spiritual battle at its essence.
Now, about this, real quick, I want to say, about this whole thing that President Trump did, and of course, President Biden was the president who allowed it to happen, but really, it happened because of President Trump. We have to be honest. There was no ground being made when President Biden was simply the president right before Trump came in. And so I'm not trying to say this in a derogatory way toward him. I'm just saying, when everything began to move was when President Trump said, if you don't do this, you're going to really pay. It's going to be a big deal if you don't. And of course, they jumped into gear right before he came into office. But it's a really bad deal. Let me just say it. It is a bad deal.
So then, Pastor Mark, if it was a bad deal, then why do you think Israel agreed to it?
Here's a theory that I have. First of all, let me say this. I think that the incredible weight and pressure and power of President Trump weighed on Netanyahu.
Okay.
And I also think that, secondly, that it is an opportunity to maybe get some of the hostages back who would be killed.
Fair point.
And thirdly, there may be going on more behind the scenes than we know.
And that's what we're hoping for.
And we're hoping this is something very ingenious by President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. And what I mean by that, again, they had to release almost 2,000 prisoners, something like 1,850 or something, almost 2,000 prisoners of these Palestinians, prisoners who, many of them rapists, murderers, the worst of the worst.
The worst of the worst, yes.
Had to be released in order to get back these, just the hostages that they're getting back. And they always do that. They always have a massive overreach of the trade that goes back and forth between them when this kind of stuff happens. But with that said, you know, prior to this, these 1,800, almost 2,000 hostages were protected. That is, nothing could happen to them. They were in Israeli prisons, a prison or prisons, I'm not sure where they're all held. And they were protected, not only protected from anyone, you know, bringing justice to them, because many of them are murderers and they deserve that justice, but protected from justice. Not only that, the Israelis are paying for their bills because they're having to house them, feed them, and all that. So they're basically paying for all these people that hate their guts. Well, now that this has been brokered and they've been released, they're now going to be released into Gaza, is my understanding, under the open skies of the Israeli Air Force. So it may be a very calculated move to say, look, these guys deserve justice. They're not going to get it while they're in the prisons, so let's trick them. Let's release them, put them in a place where now we can get to them by our jets and our missiles and our bombs and take these guys out and get the justice they deserve. At the same time, since we let them go, maybe we can talk these guys into letting our hostages come back. So they could see this as a win-win. Now, I may be overly optimistic. Nobody may have even thought this way whatsoever, but I'm hoping that behind the scenes they did, and that we might see these that have been released that are truly evil men get actual justice while they're in Gaza. And at the same time, the hostages released because of that exchange. That's where I come from on it. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We will see.
Okay. As we head into pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, we land at the doorstep of AccuWeather.com to find that global warming is so bad it snowed in Florida. I'm sorry, that isn't what it says. It says it says Florida shatters all-time snowfall record as winter storm blankets the Gulf Coast.
Truly, Greg, we're talking about Romans 8:22, and in the last days it says that that the earth will be groaning. I think we're going to see all kinds of anomalies in the weather, and it's not going to be because of man causing. It's not going to be because of man doing anything to the environment. It has nothing to do with whether you eat a steak or drive a nice car, or gas-powered car. It is simply the earth groaning in the last days. And then sometimes these strange phenomena happen, even if the earth's not groaning, which it is. But this is amazing, Greg. There was even reports, I believe it was in Pensacola, as much as 8 inches of snow.
That's,
I mean,
unreal.
We're talking more snow than we got here.
I mean,
and this is down in Florida. It says a snow of historic proportions walloped the Gulf Coast this week, delivering travel snarling snow from Texas to the Carolinas and breaking records that have stood for more than a century. Again, these writers know how to put the adjectives. It's walloped and travel snarling. Get your attention. At least 9 people have died across
That's sad.
Yes.
Wow.
Across the central and eastern United States, including a crash near Batesville, Texas, amid icy conditions that caused 5 fatalities, according to CNN.
I could see. Nobody knows how to drive in that, and they're not set up.
Yeah. All-time snow records were preliminarily set at many weather stations on the central Gulf Coast, including New Orleans, Mobile, Alabama, and Pensacola, Florida. All-time state snowfall records were challenged in Louisiana and Florida. A state of emergency was declared in Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Mississippi, with schools across the region closed for business, shut down due to a snowstorm. I can say this. I'll bet you there's never been, and maybe there has, it's rare, how many times have they been shut down in school for snow in Florida? You know, in South, we always got excited when those days happened.
Yes.
Down there, of course, they're South, but down there, they probably never had that really happen. Mm-hmm. AccuWeather's preliminary estimate for total damage and economic loss from the snow, ice, and extreme cold in the South is $14 to $17 billion. This has been the worst winter storm to hit the Gulf Coast in decades, AccuWeather chief meteorologist Jonathan Porter said. Businesses have been forced to shut down again because of the weather. Unreal.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of, you know, the palm trees and the deep snow, and it's like, man, this does not fit at all. And, you know, it is, I think it's interesting. When you get any time in the summer and you have like an exceptionally hot day, all the climate change people come out and they're jumping up and down, see. But when you have this kind of thing, nobody's going, okay, never mind. and typically what they do, they'll just say, well, we're talking about climate change. And believe it or not, Greg, they still blame things like this on climate change.
And President Trump.
Well, they're blaming him for the fires in California and for this.
Yes.
I mean, blaming him for everything.
Yes.
But the bottom line is they're saying just because of general weather patterns being changed, it's affecting all these things. Guys, remember, Romans says there's going to be all types of the earth groaning in the last days. It is not because of climate change. And the Bible promises, I want to remind our listeners, the Bible promises in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus himself will hold all things together in our climate and nature and world. He does that. He holds it all together himself. So we're all going to be fine. And we see in Scripture, he's going to hold it all together until he comes back in the second coming. There's going to be, again, some great tribulation days, but that's going to be judgments in the midst of all that.
Right.
And then he's going to come back at the end of that, and he's going to restore the environment back to a pristine state during his 1,000-year rule here on the earth. So we have a lot to look forward to and a great environment ahead of us.
All right, let's head to the church. ChristianPost.com, dated January 15th. According to a report, over 380 million Christians face persecution worldwide. Now, 380 million, isn't that kind of in the ballpark of the population of our country?
We're right at that, yeah. Not much.
So basically, it's almost as saying the entire United States, if the entire United States was Christian, everyone in this country would be persecuted.
That would be a pretty good analogy. Yeah, that's pretty close to the number. I don't know the exact number. That may be a little bit more.
Either.
That may be a little bit
maybe
more than where we are, but it's close. But here's the thing. Again, we talked about all the persecution against the Jews. That's going exponential. But remember, Satan not only hates the Jews, Satan hates the Christian. So we fall number two in all that. And so that's why you're seeing this. There's also going to be an increased hatred of Christians around the world as well, because we are Satan's second target. A North Korean Christian who escaped imprisonment, the article says, twice is praying to see his child again and share Jesus with them, showcasing the determination persecuted believers have to keep God's word alive amid surges in anti-Christian violence across the globe. Zheng Jiet's story, a name change for security reasons, appeared along several others in the Open Doors U.S. 2025 World Watch List report released Wednesday, chronicling the 50 worst countries where Christians are oppressed for their faith. And I quote, "Even in some of these places where persecution is extreme, the church continues to exist," Brian Brown, the CEO of Open Doors U.S., told the Christian Post. The church continues to grow. And again, we've seen this, guys. Note this throughout history, and I'll mention China again, because when the persecution really kicked in many, many years ago in China, the underground church was exploding. It was growing gangbusters. Why? Because the way God has designed it, whenever the church is attacked, it grows stronger. So now we're seeing Christians around the world being attacked, and Christianity is growing. With persecution comes growth. It's a truly supernatural thing God does. It goes on. According to the latest report, 380 million Christians, one in seven worldwide, face high levels of persecution and discrimination. As the organization has done for over 20 years, Open Doors U.S. ranked North Korea number one on its World Watch List. I just wonder, I mean, that's like where Satan's throne almost seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
North Korea continues to be a place that is incredibly difficult for Christians, Brown stated. Reports of violence have continued to escalate within North Korea and its expansive expansion throughout the state. Christians in North Korea could face execution just for being a Christian, or imprisonment in a labor camp if their faith is discovered, Open Doors warned. Despite the targeted oppression, however, get this, the latest World Watch List reported that around 400,000 believers in North Korea are continuing to bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
It's amazing. You know, God loves the North Koreans, and God is reaching them regardless of Kim Jong-un and his evil that he's doing. God is reaching these believers. He's going to go after those that are his. He's going to bring them into the kingdom. Sadly, some of our brothers and sisters will suffer great persecution. That just goes with the territory. But again, there's going to be great reward in the kingdom of God. And so be praying for the believers in North Korea. As you think about it, lift them up to the Lord. So, but a great encouraging story.
Crosswalk.com, dated January 16th, is informing us that the Vatican has approved guidelines allowing same-sex individuals to pursue the priesthood in Italy.
Yeah, there's such hypocrisy going on here. Look, I would say this. If you're going to say this is okay, then say it's okay, but don't be hypocrites. Because in their official writings, Greg, we're going to see their doctrine, this isn't allowed. But then they're saying, yeah, but we're going to kind of still let it happen in Italy. It's like, so, okay. Let me read some of this. The Vatican announced that individuals with same-sex attraction can pursue the priesthood in Italy. According to a document by the Italian Episcopal Conference and the Vatican's Office of Dicastery for the Clergy, the document titled "The Formation of Priests in Churches in Italy, Guidelines and Standards for Seminaries" was first approved in the 78th General Conference in 2023. Last month, the Vatican's Office of the Dicastery for the Clergy granted a decree which enabled it to go into effect. According to the Christian Post, the document referenced a Vatican article from 2005 titled "Instruction Concerning the Criteria for the Discernment of Vocations with Regard to Persons with Homosexual Tendencies in View of Their Admission to the Seminary and to the Holy Orders." My goodness, they can certainly get long titles, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Oh my goodness, how would you ever put that on a heading? You know, this is what group's meeting in there? The instruction concerning the criteria for the discernment of vocation with regard to persons with homosexual tendencies in view of their admission to the seminary and to the Holy Orders.
Your business card is an 11x17 piece of paper.
Yes, yes. So if you want to know the name of our business, just look at the billboard by the interstate. In relation to people with homosexual tendencies who approach the seminaries or who discover this situation during training, in line with their own magisterium, The church, while deeply respecting the people in question, cannot admit to the seminary and the holy orders those who practice homosexuality. So it's forbidden. And they present deeply rooted homosexual tendencies or support, if they have that, or support so-called gay culture. The Vatican's saying you can't do that. However, the guidelines that took effect Thursday suggest that same-sex individuals are not prohibited from seeking the priesthood in Italy. So we believe as a movement this is wrong before God, but in Italy, apparently God thinks it's okay there, so we're going to say that's fine. It just really highlights the hypocrisy. I think that the Catholic Church would have done a lot better to come out and say, we as a movement are changing our position. We believe now that this is okay, rather than saying, no, we still believe it's wrong, but as long as it's over there, they can do it. It's just so hypocritical, you can't take them seriously.
Yeah. Well, you would think that they would make that universal as well, but it's just for Italy. Maybe that's a trial run.
Maybe, and I don't know. It's like, it's man's religion based rather than God's relationship.
Yep.
Hello, is there anybody in there?
There's nobody in court anymore. This, according to MSN.com, dated January 22nd. A court in Colorado, of all places, has ruled that elephants can't sue to leave the zoo.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like this should be a Dr. Seuss nursery rhyme.
That's right.
The elephants can't sue to leave the zoo,
yes.
I say to you.
That's right. That's right. I, it's the absurdity of this whole mindset, Greg, where people just, I remember hearing Pastor Chuck years ago say, once you reject the truth, you'll believe anything.
Yeah.
And to see these people doing this, again, elephants not able to sue. I think of all the lawsuits now that elephants have to drop. I mean, all these things that are pending in court, and I think of all the law office chairs that have been broken needlessly by their clients sitting down.
I mean, how many trunks are full of legal briefs
that
now have to be...
Yeah.
Emptied.
You wonder. I mean,
and they're only getting paid peanuts.
Yeah, and how do you get all that in your trunk?
Yes, exactly.
Even to drive to the courthouse.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Colorado's highest court on Tuesday ruled that five elderly elephants. Again, this is even worse. You're taking advantage of the elderly.
This is elder abuse.
You're taking care.
And yes.
Yes, this is even worse. They don't have legal standing.
Nope.
To sue or to leave a local zoo because they're not human. But it's so absurd on the face. I don't even know where to go. Let's just read it.
Okay, sure.
An animal rights group had sought to have African elephants, Missy, Kimba, Lucky, Lulu, and Jamba, which, by the way, I love elephants.
Yeah, we love all animals.
Absolutely. Freed from the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo and moved to an elephant sanctuary, citing a legal process known as habeas corpus that allows individuals in custody, to challenge their detention or incarceration in court. I think that the amazing thing to me was the size of the cuffs they had on these guys as they were bringing them into the court proceeding. It was astounding. I mean, anyway, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled 6-0 in favor of an earlier district court decision, saying that from a legal standpoint, the question boils down to whether an elephant is a person. Now, again, I think the argument I think was being made, they were identifying
as a
people.
Person. Yes.
And that's where I think that part isn't really in there, but either way.
Yeah, and that would be part of DEI, wouldn't it?
Maybe that's why this fell through.
Department of Elephant Information.
That's it. The Department of Elephant Information has now been taken out by President Trump, so therefore. And it says, regardless of today's result, I'll get it in a minute, support for recognizing legal rights for animals continues to grow, their spokesman said on the animal side. Email Tuesday, he said that rights groups are exploring ways to proceed in the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo case. And so, again, how they're going to move forward now, I don't know what kind of appeal they're going to make. But either way, if you are an elephant out there and you're listening today, our heart was with you. But, we're sorry that this fell through. And, I just think, look, your elephant stormed the castle. What are they going to do?
Exactly.
What are they going to do? And who's going to stop those guys? Boom, they're out.
And hopefully they still have their tusks.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
That's because the tusks could do a lot of damage.
That's right. That's right. So either way, we'll see what happens. And we'll, if any more stories come up about this, we'll be sure to follow up, you know, and haven't yet heard yet, you know, about the beavers and their ability to do dams, if there's going to get rights, you know, as far that's still, I think, you know, pending.
Well, I was hoping that they would send the beavers down to the southern border to build dams to help with the border control.
See, now you're thinking.
See, now I'm thinking. Now, that would be a good
President Trump needs
use.
To know if he hears about
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're employed.
There you go.
All right, let's get to some good news. At least I hope this is good. You'll tell us, Pastor Mark. This
oh,
is
yes.
from crosswalk.com. This is dated January 20th. A four-year-old boy learned how to pray from his grandma, and he'll have you shouting amen.
Yeah, no, I'll read the story, but okay. You got to go see the article. Just look at this four-year-old boy praying. You know, he's supposed to be praying for his meal, but he just prayed for healing.
Wow.
And he was praying just like, you know, he'd been watching somebody pray, some
sure.
adult. I mean, it's the cutest thing, though, ever. But it says, as all children are a blessing from the Lord, they should be treasured, treated, and raised as such. Part of a properly raising a child includes teaching and instructing them in the ways and lessons of Jesus Christ. Those who would argue that children are too young, and that they wouldn't be able to understand enough to learn about God's Son could not be any more wrong. Children are always watching. They pick up on things that no one would expect, as one video posted on TikTok so hilariously displays. By the way, you don't have to be on TikTok to watch the video. Just Google YouTube and go out there for four-year-old prays, you know, for his dinner. It's funny because he didn't really even pray for it, but you're going to see that. It says in the clip, four-year-old Josiah Robinson, cutest kid, lowered his head while sitting at the table. Seconds later, he begins praying emphatically. He asks God to just heal my body, oh God. It's so cute. After asking for the Lord's healing to touch his body, the young man moves on to the most important aspect of his being. He says, just bless my soul right this minute, oh God. Oh God, oh God, bless my soul and heal my sickness, he prayed. And the young man ends his passionate prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Then he looks up and smiles. The next, the top of the video, it says this as the heading, my son prays just like my mama. So he says, this is how the grandmother prays is what he's saying.
Okay.
And that's how she prays. Apparently, this precious boy learned how to pray from his grandmother. And again, there's just such great passion and heart there. I don't know how much is original passion from little Josiah and how much was learned from his passionate grandma. But either way, it's wonderful. It's a blessing. And so if you hadn't seen it, go out and watch it. It'll put a smile on your face. It's just really neat. And either way, you know, when you see a little guy like that, Greg, praying with such passion, it reminds us we need to be praying, number one, and we need to be praying with passion. And we may not have the passion that little boy had, and I'm not saying that God requires that for us to be heard because it comes down to the heart. But what a great reminder as we end today's show to be praying with passion before the Lord. You don't have our prayers grown cold or our prayers still have fire. They don't have to be loud and fast to have fire. They just need to be from the heart and heartfelt. And I was praying this morning. I pray for a certain group of people I pray for every Friday, and I have for the last 36 years. And I was thinking about that, just praying, and I'm going, you know, sometimes after you do that for that long, you begin to go, you know, it's not, Lord, is this heartfelt, or am I just going through the motions? Because it's been so many years. And just, you know, it reminds me, no, I should get back to praying, Lord, with passion for these people, no matter how long it's been. So maybe this is a good reminder for you to be renewing your prayers of passion for those that you love and care about, for whatever the purpose that they need prayer for. But also as a reminder, as we finish today, and again, it's always good when there's extra time just to say, you know, are you praying at all? Do you know Jesus Christ? You know, we talk about prophecy, and we want to, you know, remind people of what's going to happen and encourage people the Lord's coming back soon. But you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't want him to come back because it's not going to be as good for you. For those who know the Lord, there's going to be joy and forgiveness. For those who don't, we have to stand before the Lord and give account of our sin. It's not going to be a good day for those. But if God has convicted you that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ and you believe that he died for you on the cross, right now on this radio broadcast, you can pray. Streaming, radio, whatever. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Do it right now. If he's moving in your heart, tell him you believe he died for you on the cross, that his blood washed your sins away, and then ask his forgiveness from your heart. Turn from your sin. The Bible says you'll be born again. And if you do that, you will be born again. You'll be in the kingdom. And so now your prayers will have passion, and they will have a connection to heaven. So praise the Lord for those of you that have done that. If you want to speak to a pastor, call Calvary Chapel Knoxville. Give us a call here, 865-609-1385, 865-609-1385. We'll be happy to pray with you and to help you get started in your walk, even give you some materials. to get you going in your walk. And again, just a reminder, remember the Prophecy Conference, February the 8th, Saturday, February 8th from 9 to 4. Myself, Jack Hibbs, Jeff Kinley, Todd Hampson. It's going to be a great day of all teachings from all four, as well as a current events panel. And just a wonderful day with other believers celebrating the Lord coming back and getting excited about, I believe, the soon return of Jesus Christ. So just want to always put that in there. We'll be saying it more as we get closer. But again, praise the Lord.
Yep. And also, just so people know, that conference will not be live streamed. So it would be good for you to be there in person to hear the Prophecy Pros, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and of course yourself.
So this just in.
Yes.
It won't be live streamed by us. We're working it maybe in another way. We'll announce that maybe next week. So there, there are possibilities. Oh. But again, we're not live streaming it here from Knoxville. You need to come to the broadcast to come to it. But again, it looks like now that it may be live streamed through the Real Life Network. So we'll have more information on that next week for sure when we nail that down. But I think I can say that pretty confidently. And so that's exciting as well. But it won't be here.
Okay.
So that's just in. You didn't know that, but we'll see where that goes.
No, that's just...
Which is Jack Hibbs Network.
So. That's right. Fantastic. Pastor Mark, thank you as always. And folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget our website, thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app, where you can not only get things that are Signs of the Times related, but other content that we make available to you 24 hours a day to help you grow in your faith and your relationship with Jesus. And we hope to see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's Word as Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.
WIAM LP Knoxville.
Here's a look at your East Tennessee weather here on WIAM.
Cloudy skies, occasional flurries today. A high this afternoon will be right around 35 degrees, mainly clear, low 20s overnight. Saturday, right back to sunshine. Our high on Saturday in the mid-40s, partly sunny mid-40s on Sunday, and then just a slight chance of snow on Monday early, then sunny skies. A high right around 45. Tuesday, we're back to sunny skies. A high on Tuesday in the low to mid-50s. Midweek, sunshine, a high near 55 degrees. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell on 101.1.